بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما والذين يبيتون لربهم سجدا وقياما والذين يقولون ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم إن عذابها كان غراما إنها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما صدق الله العظيم. We had commenced last week describing the qualities of Ibadur Rahman. And just to recap, we have many new brothers here also. We explained Ibadur Rahman. What is the meaning of abd? Slave. Abd is loyal to his master. He is obedient to his master. Subservient to his master. Then the fact that they are linked to Rahman. Allah's rahmat, it is out of Allah's mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed and chosen these people with these type of qualities and favors. And some ulama have mentioned that Ibadur Rahman, it is such that these people have mercy in their hearts and therefore they have these type of qualities in which they display and exhibit their mercy for mankind. Then the link with Rahman, like we say, he is a student of that particular teacher, maybe very good in mathematics. So we see, that is your teacher. Or you're a student of that particular teacher. That means you must be also very good in maths. Ya Ibadur Rahman, servants of Rahman. They're very special people. And the qualities of Rahman are found in these people as well. And then we mention Allah's rahmat and the vastness of Allah's rahmat and the example that, or the incident that was given of the person who had worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the mountaintop for 500 years and Allah had provided for him sweet water and pomegranate every day. And Allah says to the angel that make him enter Jannah through my mercy. He said, your mercy Allah, I committed no sin. It is through my ibadah that I'm going to Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then took him to task for it. And then Allah said, just look at the bounty of sight that I have bestowed upon you. And all the things you were able to see with your eye in your life, when all those favors were taken just off the bounty of the sight, and when it was weighed and measured with the ibadat he made for 500 years, all his ibadat became exhausted. It was used up for those bounties. Then what about the other bounties that Allah had bestowed upon him? So Allah then sends him to Jahannam. Then he pleads to Allah and he confesses that, oh Allah, it is only through your mercy that I can enter Jannah, and Allah Ta'ala sends him to Jannah. Then the first quality that was mentioned, الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا, those who walk on the earth with humility. And we explained what is tawadu, humility. That person who displays humility for the sake of Allah. Doesn't lower himself in front of people because he has some ulterior motive. Perhaps that man will give me his daughter in marriage. Or perhaps that person will give me a loan. No. It is done for Allah, man tawadha lillah. Solely for the sake of Allah, he has humility in his life, he is humble. Then such a person, Allah will raise him. Allah will give him honor, dignity and izzat, rafa'ahu Allah. And the contrary to that is the person who is proud and arrogant, and he is haughty, he has no humility, looks down upon people, he rejects the truth. Then such a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys him. Allah humiliates him. So this quality of tawadu, to walk on the earth, in other words, to engage with people with humility, not to be harsh, not to be cruel. So الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِرُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Two meanings are given. When the ignorant people talk to him, and they make some ridiculous statements, and they are abusive, they are harsh, they taunt him, ridicule him, mock him, make life miserable. So he just says, Salaamu Alaikum. Like in one verse, Allah says, Salamun alayka la nabtaghi al-jahili. Peace be to you. You go your way, I go my way. I'm not in need of being in your company. Or the other Mufassirin have said, the meaning of this is, they do not respond in a like manner. That person ridiculed him. But he does not respond in a like manner and ridicule that person. He shows his akhlaq. He engages in some other talk. Changes the subject. He ignores what that person said. Bears the pain in his heart. But he does not respond in a like and harsh manner how that person had responded to him. How that person has spoken to him. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ سَلَامًا قَالُوا سَلَامًا وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. And then we explained on tahajjud salat and the importance of tahajjud salat, the blessings of tahajjud salat, the virtues of tahajjud salat. And we mentioned after fard salat, the greatest of all the nafil salat, the one that brings the most blessings is tahajjud salat. And ideally, it is that time of the night when everybody is asleep. After a person has slept for a little while, a few hours, then he wakes up and then he engages in this munajat with Allah and he speaks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He cries over his sins, he repents, engages in lengthy rakats, whatever is possible according to our strength and health. That is the ideal situation. But those who are unable, like weak people like us, then ulama said even after Isha Salat, after the Fard, we read two sunnat, then the two nafil that we read before the witr, we make intention of tahajjud salat, inshallah we will get the sawab of tahajjud salat. So even after Isha Salat, even after the witr, before going to sleep also, if we read two rakat salat or four rakats of tahajjud salat, we will get the sawab of tahajjud salat. In one hadith it is mentioned that Allah showers His mercy. The word is Rahim Allah. That Allah showers His mercy upon that person who wakes up at night for tahajjud salat, that husband. And then he awakens his wife for tahajjud salat by sprinkling, listen very carefully, few splashes of water, few droplets of water on her face in a nice manner, not taking a whole bucket or cup of water and pouring over her. In that anger, she'll give you talaq. So in a nice way. Or the other opposite is, if the wife wakes up and she engages in tahajjud salat, then in a kind, soft manner, she awakens her husband. And both of them read tahajjud salat. Allah says, Allah's rahmat comes on that people. Allah's rahmat comes on that couple. One riwayat is mentioned, Allah smiles at those people. Allah becomes happy. It is a very special time, the dead of the night. One poet said, اِخْتَنِمْ رَكْعَتَيْنِ فِي ظُلْمَةِ اللَّيْلِ إِذَا كُنْتَ فَارِغًا مُسْتَرِيحًا. That appreciate or seize the opportunity of two rakat salat in the dead of the night. Everybody is fast asleep. Now you stand up and you read two rakat salat, tahajjud. When your heart is free from any other thoughts and worries, we left all the problems of the shop and the school and the madrasa and the business and the office. Everything is finished. Your mind is not cluttered now. You slept, you had a sleep, now you woke up. Now your mind is fresh, sound, everything is still. Very peaceful, very serene. Now the burdens that was on your shoulder the entire day, the toils, the fatigue, everything is gone. And now you are engaged in communion, you are talking, the conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, وَإِذَا مَا هَمَمْتَ الْخَوْضَ بِالْبَاطِلِ فَجَعَلْ مَكَانَهُ تَسْبِيحًا. He says, if you intend to speak some futile things, indecent things, batil, false, things which are not going to benefit you, then instead of that, take a tasbih out and read subhanallah, alhamdulillah. So this is a lesson for us. Carry a tasbih. No show. We don't have to worry about what people are going to say. The moment we are stirred, or we are incited, oh, shaitan cast some whisperings to talk some evil, There's many times as we get together, and some person comes with some jokes. We mentioned last week, to joke, it's permissible. As long as it's within the limit of Sharia. Sharia does not want us to be very khushk, mizaj. And very, very somber and glum and all the time. Sad and, or very angry. No. Sharia wants us to smile. Sharia wants us to be happy. Sharia does not mind us being light-hearted. However, it must be within the limits of Sharia. We don't go beyond, laugh the entire day. For every small thing, we are laughing, laughing, laughing. That makes the heart hard. Rasulullah ﷺ, once he came out, Sahaba were laughing. Brothers, and Sahaba's jokes were not like our jokes. Our jokes are rude jokes, filthy. This is the reality. Unfortunately, we have to say that even the SMSs that go around, the emails, we don't realize the words that are being mentioned. Be very careful. Wallahi, sometimes these words border on kufr. We don't intend these things. Perhaps we intend some supplication or a dua or some greeting. Many times we take it from a book. Not written by some Muslim author. Some person who's got nothing to do with Islam. We copy that. We send the SMS. Sometimes those SMS are talking about angels which are contrary to the belief of angels. Sometimes we see things about God and Creator and when He was distributing this and when He did that, which are not found in Sharia. So these are things that we should be mindful of. Deen is something serious. We can't play around with deen. So even though we intend some good message, then write a simple good message. We don't have to try and impress somebody with somebody else's heavy English jargon. And then the person thinks, this person is so kind. And the same SMS floats around everywhere until somebody else sends the same SMS to yourself. Let us be sincere. Few words, genuinely. Thank a person, show appreciation, show kindness to Imam Mubarak, whatever it is. Or thanking him for the favor he has done to you, or I made dua for you. Simple English. We have digressed. But the point is here that it is a time for tahajjud salat. We should be engaged in talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another poet says about a pigeon. He said, لَقَدْ هَتَفَتْ فِي جُنْحِ اللَّيْلِ حَمَامَةٌ. He said, the pigeon has cooed, made a sound in the night, in the middle of the night. Ala fananin, whilst it is on the branches of the tree. In other words, he's saying it is as though this pigeon has woken up for the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, Allah ta'ala says, وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِحَهُمْ. Everything that Allah has created makes a tasbih of Allah. The only thing is we do not understand the tasbih. The birds that are chirping, especially in the morning, they are making the zikr of Allah. Animals also make the dhikr of Allah. The plants also make the dhikr of Allah. If you look at the riwayat, once Rasulullah SAW was sitting, he had some pebbles in his hands. The sahaba who was sitting around him could hear the dhikr of Allah from those pebbles. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu took those pebbles. He also, from his hands, they could hear this dhikr coming out from those pebbles. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu also did the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes these things, make his zikr. But we cannot understand the zikr of these animals and these creatures. So the poet says, لَقَدْ هَتَفَتْ فِي جُنْحِ اللَّيْلِ حَمَامَةٌ. Hamama means the pigeon. Has cooed, has made a sound, making the zikr of Allah. عَلَى فَنَنٍ, on the branches of the tree. وَأَنِّي نَائِمٌ. Myself, he says, I'm fast asleep. He says, كَذَبْتُ وَاللَّهِ. He says, Allah's qasam, I'm a liar. لَكُنْتُ عَاشِقًا. If I had true love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَمَا سَبَقَتْنِي بِالْبُكَاءِ الْحَمَائِمُ. Then the pigeons wouldn't have beat me in crying and supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I would have woken up first. And I would have engaged in tahajjud. And I would have cried. And I would have made buka. Buka means crying. Before the pigeons even. And then he says, وَأَزْعُمُ أَنِّي هَائِمٌ ذُو صَبَابَةٍ. I claim that I am an ardent lover of my Allah. I'm madly in love with my Allah. فَلَا أَبْكِي وَتَبْكِي الْبَهَائِمُ. When the reality is I'm not crying, yet the animals are crying and they're making the dhikr of Allah. So the lesson is, imagine the pigeons and the birds, they are chirping away, they're making the dhikr of Allah in the dark of the night. So he's giving us encouragement. Then let us also rise, like how Sahaba rose. And what was their salient feature? They would go away from the bed, make wudu, engage in tahajjud salat, and they would cry and cry and cry. And they would make istighfar. And this was not only in the month of Ramadan, or some big night, this was every night in the life of every Sahabi. Or almost every night. Unless a Sahabi was on Safar, or he was very ill, then Shariat, although tahajjud was not fard, but Shariat is so balanced. So there were occasions the Sahabi could not perform his tahajjud salat. But generally, most part of that year, and most part of their lives, Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in would stand up and for tahajjud salat. As I mentioned, this is the petrol, this is the oil of all the salihin. Those who want to be the waliyas of Allah, how are we going to be the waliyas of Allah if we're not going to engage in tahajjud salat? The hadith says, فَإِنَّهُ دَأْبُ الصَّالِحِينَ. This is the practice of all the pious people. May Allah give us tawfiq. I said, we are so weak. Allah forgive us. Allah make all of us tahajjud guzar. And we mentioned last week also, I'll just reiterate this point, that whenever we do any good work, never look down upon any person who may not be doing that good act or may not be performing tahajjud salat. It gives us no right to look down or even be boast about that particular action. Now we want somebody to know that a worker for tahajjud salat. So very common again at the 2 o'clock in the morning, then we will SMS the person and say, I'm thinking of you. I just made dua for you. That is not lillahi, that is not ikhlas. Yes, it's a different thing if that person is also awake, you know, he's also awake, or he woke you up for tahajjud, or he's there in Makkah and he's making tawaf and you're asking for duas. But 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning, just you want to show him that you have woken up for tahajjud salat, now you start sending him SMS. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat and guidance. Deen is something we have to learn. And although we are sitting here, we don't have these qualities. Myself, I'm saying these things, so Allah ta'ala, give me these type of qualities of Ibadur Rahman. Otherwise, one slight movement of ours away from the straight path, perhaps the ikhlas is not there. And the whole action goes down the way. And therefore, ulama say, we have to make muhasaba. This word we heard many times, muhasaba, muhasaba. Allama Muhasabi rahmatullah alayhi was given that title of muhasabi because he used to make muhasaba of his nafs all the time. All the time checking his nafs. Why am I saying this? Is there any need for me to say this? Have I got sincerity in what I'm doing, what I'm saying? Is there any pride in what I'm saying? Is there any arrogance? Now these things, you and I, we are weak, we cannot pick this thing. And therefore, our mashayikh say, find or sit in the company of the salihin, the mashayikh, those who are experts. That by sitting in their company, they will sense our pride. They will sense our haughtiness. They will sense our malice. And they will try and to rectify and remedy that problem in us. Until we don't sit by a person who is an expert in this field, then we will not be able to rectify these maladies unless we know that particular thing is in me. And we ask that alim, or ask that sheikh, that Hazrat, I've got this problem, or Maulana, or sheikh, I've got this problem. What is the cure for this in the hadith? But there are so many other maladies that we all have in our hearts. But we are oblivious. We don't realize that we have. We are victims of these maladies. So we continue our lives in this manner. But what is happening in the process? We are destroying our amal. We are destroying our batini nur. And therefore, Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatullahi Alayh, in one of his discourses, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give Jazai Khair for all those people who have collated all these discourses and put in book form. And inshallah, this book also will be coming out sometime, inshallah. Ma'rifat with ease. And in there, he has got this whole aspect of Tahajjud Salat, which we have heard also from him. But he goes into great lengths. After mentioning the virtue and the importance of Tahajjud Salat, and then he went into the aspect of performing Tahajjud Salat and other Ibadat, but at the same time we fail to refrain from sin. So he has given the example of a person on a very hot day, extremely hot. But he cannot find any aircon or any fan. The only fan he's got is a hand fan, or a small little fan that what we use, a small battery, a pen light battery. And that hand fan we bring it very close to our face, just to gain some coolness. But at the same time we gather some wood and we burn a fire right next to us. It's hot outside, plus we've got the firewood that's burning. It becomes even more hot. Now, will that hand fan serve any purpose? No purpose at all. So we've got the sins of fire that is burning. And it is so hot also. Nafs and shaitan are trying to mislead us. And we are committing more and more and more sins. So the little tahajjud that we make, it's like the little fan we're trying to bring close to our faces. But those lustful glances that we cast, the riba, the interest that we are indulging in, the zina, the ghibat, the malice, the pride, all those wrongs and the sins. Our namazes we make qaza. We harm people. We don't pay them. Our creditors we make them chase us all around. We haven't paid our zakat. We haven't even paid for last year's qurbani. And so many things. So we are gathering all these sins and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right next to us. And we've got the small little fan, we're trying to gain some coolness. And then somewhere he mentions also that we accumulate the noor of tahajjud salat and other ibadat, dhikr, and we place it into our heart. But these ibadat or these anwarat are very sensitive guests. They are guests. They are visitors who we have given some place in our hearts. But they are so sensitive that the moment we bring sins and we entertain sins and we bring sins into the same residence, then immediately the noor of tahajjud and dhikr and ibadat, they bid farewell and they go away. So what's left in our heart? Only darkness again. There is no doubt, ibadat has an effect, dhikr has an effect, a noor. But we accumulate that noor, and we bring the darkness of sins, and we overwhelm that noor, and we overpower that noor. Therefore, it is imperative, that whilst we make tahajjud salat, it is important, but at the same time, to gain maximum benefit of that tahajjud, to gain maximum blessings of the tahajjud, we have to refrain from sins. We have to stay away from gunas. The sins of our eyes, sins of our tongue, sins of the heart and the mind, sins of our hands, sins of our legs. All these things we have to keep in check, in place. It's not just once or twice we will remedy them. It is an ongoing process. Like how it is mentioned, it is a kushti, a wrestling match. Between nafs and ourselves. Kabhi wo dabale. Sometimes it is nafs that is overpowering us, pinning us onto the ground. Sometimes we are able to overcome our nafs with the help and sitting in the company of the pious and making dhikr and tilawat of the Quran and tahajjud and ibadat and hajj and umrah and tawbah, istighfar. We are able to overpower our nafs. This brings me to a point that Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullah had mentioned. He says, see, in the month of Ramadan, shaitan is chained. So the only thing we have to worry about is our nafs. And therefore it becomes easy in the month of Ramadan to refrain from sins. Person makes a few mistakes here and there, but generally, person feels very pious in the month of Ramadan. Why? Because nafs is not assisted by shaitan. Shayateen are chained, they're fettered. So now the nafs gains no assistance from the side of shaitan. Shaitan is unable to help the nafs. So the person, because he's in the environment of the masjid, he's fasting, he's reading Quran, he's coming for Taraweeh Salah, making some ibadat. So he is able to overpower and control his nafs. So Shah Wasila Rahman says, then after the month of Ramadan, because you already have gained some practice in controlling your nafs, put a little bit more. You didn't see much. It's a little bit more mujahada now. Because now shaitan is unchained. So now again he invites you to spawn to the spawn sites. Again he'll tempt you with that drugs. Again he'll tempt us with casting lustful glances and zina and riba and all the full. So a little bit of mujahada is required now. We've got our nafs in check. But now we have to make sure we don't follow the insinuations of shaitan and the whisperings of shaitan. And how are we going to do this? Again, it is sitting in gatherings of iman, sitting in gatherings of tazkiyah, sitting in majlis of dhikr and tawbah, and understanding what the injunctions of Quran and hadith are, going to the scholars, the ulama, and asking them, frequenting the masajid, making sure of fard salat we are there, and engaging nafil salat. So all these things will help us now to overcome shaitan and our nafs. Otherwise, it's going to be very, very difficult. Then we've got nafs and shaitan to fight. And because we have a weak iman, it's difficult. And then we will fail. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us, give us tawfiq. Like this, there's so many other important things in tahajjud salat. And other aspects. Shah Wasila rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned. It doesn't mean that if a person missed tahajjud salat, so the remaining of the day, or during the day now, we mustn't engage in any nafil salat. He said, nobody's stopping us from engaging nafil salat during the day. You missed the hajj, okay. You had intention, but you could not wake up. There's no qaza for tahajjud. But during the day, you can engage in nafil salat. During the day, you can carry on your dhikr and ibadat. Many times, shaitan makes us feel helpless. He said, you know what, you missed the hajj salat. So now you might as well just carry on with your way of life the next day and try again the next night. So again, we have to be aware of shaitan's ploys. Person missed tahajjud salat, then again engage in nafil salat. Again try. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, give me tawfiq of waking up for tahajjud salat. And if a person is engaging in tahajjud salat, make dua ya Allah. I'm enjoying my tahajjud salat. Don't make salb. Don't snatch away this ni'mat from me. Then the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, after mentioning tahajjud salat, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمَ. These people, the Ibadur Rahman, first of all, they walk on the earth with humility. They've got no pride. Then they treat the ignorant ones also very kindly. Then they're engaging in tahajjud salat. So Allah has shown us the raat and din, the night in tahajjud. The din, how they, during the day, how they deal with people. So the muamala, the dealings with Allah and makhluk is shown to us. They've done very well. During the day, they're kind with people, they're humble, they are pious servants. During the night, they engage in salat. So everything is excellent about them. Despite this fact that they are, the muamala with insan and Allah is good, they are still fearful. And they make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, move us away from the fire of Jahannam. Ya Allah, we are worried. Like how in the 18th para Allah talks about also the believers, and Allah gives an mentions an ayat, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. That whatever rosy Allah has given them, whatever sustenance Allah has provided for them, they spend on the poor, the needy, the orphans, the widows, the weak. They give their zakat, they give nafil sadaqat. So they give charity, but at the same time their hearts are trembling with fear that perhaps Allah might not accept this ibadat of mine. I'm fearful. Have I done this with ikhlas? Have I discharged it correctly? If everything is everything in place, did I fault in any way? Did I do anything wrong? So they are afraid because they realize annahum ila rabbihim raji'un, they are going to go back to Allah. Ulama mentioned 2 points here. Number one, they are fearful of whatever ibadah they do. That Ya Allah accept. Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam and his father Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam build the Kaaba. Excellent deed. Rabbana taqabbal minna. Oh Allah, you accept. So after ibadah, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, you accept. No Allah, save us from the fire of Jahannam. It mustn't be that we did this out of show and riya and ostentation. And now this good deed that we did becomes a means of our gaining Jahannam. Because we did it for show. Not for Allah, we did it for people. Inna azabaha kana gharama. The punishment of Jahannam is gharam. The word gharam in Arabic means something that adheres or clings. Normally the word gharim is used for a creditor, even for a debtor. But gharim, a creditor is behind the person, coming behind the debtor, clinging on to him. Where's my money? Where's my money? So like that, the azab of Jahannam will cling onto the person. It's not going to move away. And anything that's going to cling onto that person, like the fire of Jahannam, is going to lead to his destruction. Therefore, some scholars have said, "Inna azaba kana gharama." Verily, the punishment of Jahannam is destructive. It will destroy the person. Innaha sa'at mustaqarra wa muqama. Verily, Jahannam is a very evil resting place. It is a very evil abode. Now the subject of Jahannam will take weeks. But this ayat is sufficient for us to ponder. The azab of Jahannam is so severe. Clinging onto the person's body. As much as he wants to push it off, it's not going to go away. And it's going to destroy him. He's going to be perished in Jahannam, and therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam every day after Fajr Salat and after Maghrib Salat, 7 times, Allahumma ajirni minan nar. Allahumma ajirni minan nar. Allahumma ajirni minan nar. Oh Allah, save me from the fire of Jahannam. Oh Allah, save me from the fire of Jahannam. So I said ulama mentioned 2 points. One is this point here. The other point about making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That these pious people, they engage in dua. And dua is so important. Allah wants us to beg from Him. Allah wants us to ask. So ask Allah to save us from the fire of Jahannam. And another thing that the scholars have mentioned, they say a common feature of all the pious people. Common feature, a quality of all the Anbiya and all the pious, the Salafi Salihin, was they all believed very, very firmly on Ba'ath and Jaza. And this has to do with Iman. What is Ba'ath and Jaza? Resurrection. And Jaza means reward or punishment in the hereafter. Shah Wasilullah Rahmatullah is mentioning very clearly, Mu'min ki mumtaz sifat. What is that very salient quality of a believer? Isme kehta hu ki mu'min ki jannati sifat hai. Un sab mein mumtaz sifat ba'ath aur jaza par uska iman hai. That a person, a mu'min, believes he's got iman on resurrection on the day of qiyamah. He'll be raised from his qabr. And he will have to answer Allah. There'll be either jannat or jahannam. Allah save us from jahannam. Allah give us jannat without any reckoning. But when a believer has this belief and this aqidah, he knows Qiyamah is going to take place. He knows there'll be resurrection. He knows there'll be jaza. There'll be either reward for him or punishment. Then this is going to spur him on to be mindful in Allah and be conscious of Allah watching him all the time. And therefore he is going to do all the things that is going to please Allah.
And therefore, as Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned, إِذَا مَا خَلَوْتَ الدَّهْرَ يَوْمًا فَلَا تَقُلْ خَلَوْتُ وَلَكِنْ قُلْ عَلَيَّ رَقِيبُ. Any time in the year when you're all alone, one day you found a nice time, my wife is gone to her mother's place, children all gone. Or my parents are not around. I'm all alone. Now I can do what I want to do. I'm in solitude. إِذَا مَا خَلَوْتَ الدَّهْرَ يَوْمًا فَلَا تَقُلْ خَلَوْتُ. Imam Shafi rahmatullah says, don't say I'm all alone. وَلَكِنْ قُلْ عَلَيَّ رَقِيبُ. But say, there's somebody watching me. Somebody watching all my actions. Perhaps they put my finger on the computer and switch on to the internet. And now I'm beginning my search. And now all those pictures are now popping up onto the screen. Think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is muraqabah. هُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ. He is with you all the time. الَّذِي يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ. One who is watching you when you're standing. وَتَقَلُّبَكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ. Whilst you are praying also, Allah is watching you. Whilst you're moving around with people, whilst you're in privacy, Allah is watching you. And this is what we have to bring into our minds, bring into our hearts, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us all the time. Inshallah, we'll terminate here. The sifat of Ibadur Rahman, there are so many. The next one, Allah talks about moderation in spending. That when we make infaq, when we spend, then we should spend in moderation. We shouldn't have extremes in our life. There shouldn't be extravagance and overdo something and go beyond the limits. Neither should we be so miserly. And this is another very long subject about being miserly and overspending. But inshallah we'll continue when we have the next program inshallah. But just at this point, so that we remember when we recommence about this balance in Sharia. Not only in spending, in everything. In our eating, there is moderation. Sharia tells us to eat. Kulu washrabu, eat and drink. Wala tusrifu. But don't be extravagant. One is don't buy things and spend on things which you do not need more than your necessities. Then it becomes, you're going to waste it. Don't overeat and overindulge. You suffer indigestion. Your clothing also, buy what you require. Don't buy beyond the limits. You are going to now have expenses, incur expenses, and you will have a problem. You'll be in debts, and this is the reality. Your wedding functions, you have a small nikah. Don't try and impress the whole ummah and borrow so much of money and then we can't pay it for the next couple of years. And what happens? Many times those nikahs don't even survive. Allah save our nikahs. What happens? All that money is wasted. This is a balance in Sharia, even in our ibadat. One of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahaba went to great extents to make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one day he comes to the masjid, he sees between two pillars like there, a rope tied, or a string. He asks, what is this? So one of the wives, Zainab radiallahu anha, says, that I was engaged in tahajjud salat, or ibadat, nafil salat, so I tied my neck around this rope, and around the two pillars, so that if I have to just doze off, it will catch onto my neck, and I'll quickly wake up and continue my salat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, no, release this rope. Allah does not want us to do this. The moment you're tired, go and sleep. When you gain strength and health, then wake up for tahajjud salat. Wake up for your other nafil salat. This is the balance in Sharia. Sharia does not want us to take a tasbih whole day and make Allah Allah. And then our brains become khushk. Then we have no time for our wives and children. And then we have problems. Neither does the Shariat want us to stay away from the masjid and live a life of extravagance and life of freedom and don't care and do whatever we wish. So don't be extravagant and overspend. Spend on the family. There is about a dinar, one gold coin. Sahabi said, Ya Rasul, I got one gold coin. What must I do? Nabi said, spend it on your wife, your family, your children. After that he said, spend it onto your neighbor and spend it on the poor. First you spend on your own family. It is easy to give big amounts to institutions and madrasas and masjids and this project and that project when our own wives and children are suffering. Then we're going to have that problem like how the person had, and I mentioned the month of Ramadan, some of you have heard this before, like that one husband who should keep his notes in his pocket in the night, put his kurta or his shirt or his coat and hang it. And the next morning whenever he goes to pay his accounts or buy something, takes his hand from the pocket, you see, everything is gone. So he realized that the mouse is his wife. And every night she's coming and sneaking and taking it away. So then he makes a plan. So one day he buys a frog and he puts a frog in his pocket. And then he pretends that he's going to sleep. And suddenly his wife wakes up now. And she puts her hand into the pocket. The moment she puts her hand, suddenly she says, my hand. He says, my money. So we don't have to be like that. And we don't have to be misers. Spend on our family. One person, he was such a miser. Doesn't want to share anything. His bichari wife, so loyal, so obedient, she made so much of sabar whole life. Now he's passing away, he says, oh my beloved wife, one wasiyat I got. When I pass away, please, you've been loyal to me now, last minute don't be disloyal to me. Otherwise, you know, qiyamah, what can happen? So she's afraid now. He says, all my money, please, gather it and put it in the qabr with me. When they're taking my body away, put it in the janaza box with me. So I can take my money with me in the qabr. He says, no problem. So now as they're about to take the janaza away, she takes the box and she takes it and she puts it. So her friend asks her, are you serious? You're actually doing this? I know your husband had made this wasiyah, but now, I mean, you know, you never had any enjoyment in your life and now you're going and you're actually fulfilling his wish and desires. She says, yes, you know, I mean, he asked me to do this. So what I did, I gathered all his money and I put it into my account in the bank and I wrote out the check to him and this is the check in the box. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. In shariat, to be a miser, it is so abhorred by shariat, really. If you look at the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one hadith, Nabi says, the two things can never be found in a believer. Two things can never be found in a believer. Su'ul khuluq, evil character, bad character, and bukhal, kanjusi, to be a miser. A mu'min can't have these two qualities. Mu'min has good qualities, and a mu'min is generous and sakhi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat wa akhiru da'wan. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu laka shukru kulluhu la nuhsi thanana alayka anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم إنا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك فاغفر لنا وتب علينا فاغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا أنت المقدم أنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا ولا إلى أحد من خلقك طرفة عين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك المصطفى خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله Oh my most beloved Allah Ya Allah make us from عباد الرحمن Give us that humility Ya Allah Ya Allah give us that tawfiq of tahajjud salat Ya Allah Ya Allah help us Ya Allah to engage in dua Ya Allah, save us from the azab of Jahannam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us all the good qualities of Ibadur Rahman. Oh, Ya Allah, make us become good Muslims, Ya Allah, with good akhlaq, Ya Allah. Give us afiyat, salamati, hifazat, izzat, aman, chain, sukoon, rahat, protection, your marifat, your qurb, Ya Allah. Help us to change the direction of our lives, Ya Allah. Help us to refrain from sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are so disobedient to you, Ya Allah. Now make us loyal and obedient servants, Ya Allah, of yours. Ya Allah, you are kind master, Ya Allah. By now you would have punished us for all the wrongs and ills we have committed, my Allah. Ya Allah, the wrongs of our eyes and the evils of our tongue and our mind and our heart and our hands and our legs. Oh, my Allah, forgive us, my Allah, completely, my Allah. Give us tawfiq and hidayat, Ya Allah, of listening to your Quran and hadith and understanding your injunctions and practicing upon the deen and sharia. Help us to attend the majalis of dhikr and the majalis where your deen is imparted. Oh, may Allah give us ikhlas, sincerity, Ya Allah, in imparting this knowledge, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, generate our hearts, Ya Allah, make it, Ya, fill our hearts with your love and your ishq and muhabbat. May the noor of our ibadat be in our, and remain in our hearts, Ya Allah. Do not make a sin that our sin will become a darkness and removes and obliterates the noor of ibadat from our hearts, oh, my Allah. Oh, my Allah, we are weak, Ya Allah. We are ajiz, Ya Allah. But oh, my Allah, you are qawi, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you are ghani. You are independent, Ya Allah. You are baniyaz. You are samad. You don't need any one of us, my Allah. You are not muhtad. We are muhtad. We are faqir. We need you every second of our life, my Allah. Ya Allah, those who are sick and ailing, my Allah. They've got different diseases, illnesses, sicknesses, Ya Allah. So many of them underwent operations, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, so many of them had heart operations and stomach operations, Ya Allah, and liver and kidney and so many different type of ailments and sicknesses, Ya Allah. Oh, my Allah, you alone know what they are going through, my Allah. Ya Allah, it is so difficult, my Allah. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, Ya Allah. Remove the sicknesses, my Allah. Ya Allah, those who got cancer, Ya Allah, remove the cancer. Those who got brain tumor, remove the brain tumor, Ya Allah. Those who got heart sicknesses and stomach sicknesses, Ya Allah, remove those sicknesses, Ya Allah. Save us from having those deadly sicknesses and all those, Ya Allah, those, give us good health and give us sihat, Ya Allah. Oh, my Allah, remove all our difficulties. Remove all our problems, financial problems, social problems, domestic problems, Ya Allah, whatever depression we are suffering, my Allah. Give us the sukoon, Ya Allah, peace of mind, tranquility of the heart, Ya Allah. Make us your friends, my Allah. Oh, my Allah, make us your friends, my Allah. Do not make us get trapped by shaitan in our nafs, my Allah. Do not make us get deceived by the glitter and glamour of this world, my Allah, and by the ploys of shaitan in our nafs, my Allah, and the deception of shaitan in our nafs. Oh, my Allah, protect us from azab of qabr and all types of fitna, especially the fitna of dajjal. Ya Allah, give us shahadat in your path. Oh, my Allah, give us maut in Madina Sharif. Give us burial in Jannatul Baqi, my Allah. Oh, my Allah, we have got great confidence in you, Ya Allah, that you are answering our du'as. Ya Allah, we have yaqeen in your dhat, Ya Allah. Oh, my Allah, grant each and every one of us whatever we desire, my Allah. Especially, Ya Allah, these brothers who have come here tonight, my Allah. And our mothers and sisters listening over the receivers, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, they have spent this time, Ya Allah, listening, Ya Allah, so attentively, Ya Allah. Because they want to become close to you, my Allah. Fulfill each person's desires, Ya Allah. Oh, my Allah, so many people requested du'as, Ya Allah, answer all the du'as. رَبَّنَا هَاتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Oh Allah, those who have gone for Umrah and have returned, accept the Umrah. Those who have made niyat for Hajj, Ya Allah, make the Hajj maqbool and mabroor, my Allah. Those who are still waiting on the list, Ya Allah, that they may be included for the Hajj. Oh my Allah, you include them in your list, my Allah. Ya Allah, outwardly it may be impossible, Ya Allah. And outwardly it may be that the quota has been finished and there are no more people allowed. Oh, my Allah, everything is in your control, my Allah. And you have showed us in the past, Ya Allah, that all doors were shut, my Allah, and all doors were closed. But at the final moment, my Allah, you opened those doors, my Allah. And so many other people who had accumulated their monies to go for Hajj, my Allah. So many poor ones, Ya Allah, they waited and now they've got the monies and they've got the means, my Allah. Do not disappoint them, my Allah. They want to see your house, my Allah. They want to stand before Roza Mubarak and make As-salatu as-salamu alayka, Ya Rasulullah. Ya Allah, accept all of us for Hajj, Ya Allah. Those who are going on a deeni safar, accept the safar, my Allah. Ya Allah, make it maqbool, Ya Allah. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا يَا مَوْلَانَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.